Hello and welcome to the Whispering Gallery. Today we're continuing our two-part journey into sand paintings not long for this world. This time we're heading into the world of sacred sand paintings at what's known as the Roof of the World, Tibet, an autonomous zone in China, which is just north of the Himalayan mountains. Let's go beyond the spinning Tibetan prayer wheels, the luminous glow of multitudes of flickering butter candles, and into the mystery of the sand painting called the Kalachakra Mandala. If you haven't seen it, please visit us on Instagram at Whispering Gallery Podcast. There are hundreds of deities concealed within the mysterious and flat 2D sand painting. I'm not sure if this is just representative, given logic, spatial limitations, the missing full-size mansion with rooms in different floors, with room for the deities. There's no clear explanation how they pull this off. If we go all sci-fi or mystical, maybe they're in there somehow. Just around the corner, so to speak. Dimensions, string theory, who knows? So sand painting versus 3D model of the five-floor mansion rendered in Maya that we can explore. Not today, my friends, not today. Instead, hold on to your hat, because what you're actually looking at is the 3D Kalachakra Mandala from above, a drone's view of a five-story mansion holding 722 deities, and this is where the Kalachakra deity manifests the state of enlightenment. If your head is spinning, you're not alone. In the Jewel Tree of Tibet, the enlightenment engine of Tibetan Buddhism, Robert Thurman writes, "The extinction of suffering and the achievement of perfect happiness and the reality of perfect happiness is the reality of our world. This was the Buddha's good news. This is what he realized under the Bodhi tree, where he first became enlightened." What do you think would happen when a very old Tibetan teacher, a lama, passes away? Maybe we should first find out what a lama is. Britannica.com explains, quote, "Lama, Tibetan, superior one. In Tibetan Buddhism, a spiritual leader. Originally used to translate guru, Sanskrit venerable one, and thus applicable only to heads of monasteries or great teachers. The term is now extended out of courtesy to any respected monk or priest," unquote. Some lamas are considered reincarnations of their predecessors. These are termed Sprulsku lamas. That's Sprul-Sku. As distinguished from developed lamas who have won respect because of the high level of spiritual development they have achieved in the present lifetime, unquote. The process for the old lama followed a somewhat familiar path, but after the cremation, that's not where things ended for Geshe Lama Khonchog. After the gatherings, cremation, and things had settled down, his young student Tenzin Zopa was given the task to go find him. Not his remains, but his reincarnated self. Literally, go look for him and bring him back. Searching for a needle in a haystack. He was dead after all, but the thing was, they didn't believe he was gone. Maybe I'm just a mashup of cultural references, but this would seem like the concept of Ohana to Hawaiians. Like when Lilo and Lilo and Stitch said family means nobody gets left behind or forgotten, Geshe Lama Khonchog was not going to be forgotten. Wikipedia states, quote, "Rebirth in Buddhism refers to the teaching that the actions of a person lead to a new existence after death in an endless cycle called samsara. This cycle is considered to be dukkha, unsatisfactory, and painful. The cycle stops only if liberation is achieved by insight and the extinguishing of craving. Rebirth is one of the foundational doctrines of Buddhism, along with karma, nirvana, and moksha. Other Buddhist traditions, such as Tibetan Buddhism, posit an interim existence, bardo, between death and rebirth, which may last as many as 49 days. This belief drives Tibetan funerary rituals. The rebirth doctrine, sometimes referred to as reincarnation or transmigration, asserts that rebirth does not necessarily take place as another human being, but can also lead to an existence in one of the six realms of existence, which also include heaven realms, the animal realm, the ghost realm, and hell realms. Rebirth, as stated by various Buddhist traditions, is determined by karma, with good realms favored by kushala, good or skillful karma, while a rebirth in evil realms is a consequence of akushala, bad karma, unquote. Geshe Lama Panchog's student Zopa headed out into the countryside to see if he could find his teacher, specifically to see if any of the young children were the reincarnation of Panchog. You can find the documentary, The Unmistaken Child, on Amazon Prime and see how this very emotional journey went. This situation would be distressing on many levels. From the possibility of really losing someone you felt you were never meant to part with, as per your religious beliefs. And it really is on you to find them. Then if you think about the family whose child is believed to be the reincarnated Lama, the child would need to go back to the monastery. This would be beyond very difficult. Did you know this process was used to locate the 13th Dalai Lama, currently number 14? Based on a dream, they went to look for him near a lake and produced items familiar to him in his last life mixed with other things. He chose the items from his previous life, confirming his identity. The current Dalai Lama was born in 1935, and per Wikipedia, quote, he was selected as the tulku of the 13th Dalai Lama in 1937, and formally recognized as the 14th Dalai Lama in a public declaration near the town of Bumchen in 1939. My name is Suzanne Nicolaiasen, and I love finding the spooky, supernatural, and unusual stories in the art world and sharing them with you. Thanks for joining me. If you've already been listening, welcome back. This episode is part two in the Sand Paintings Not Long for This World, two-parter. Part one focuses on the sand paintings produced by the medicine men and women of the Navajo people. If you're new, please take your time exploring the other episodes where you can dive into stories about the Hope Diamond, Claude Monet's ghost, art and stories of the Kraken, and even stone ship monuments of the Vikings. I hope you'll subscribe and stick around with our little community of spooky art fans. It's great that you could join me and our friends and listeners from all around the world. I'm glad you're here to wrap up the sometimes abstruse and very temporary sand paintings of these two extraordinary cultures. The artistry for the sand painting requires a skilled hand to place the sand and yet a mere breath to displace. Why is the Kala Chakra mandala created and then destroyed after it's created? I hope you'll stick around as we dig into the shifting sands to find out. A few years ago, I went downtown to the Tibetan Buddhist Temple in Salt Lake City. I visited a couple of times to learn about meditating from a reliable source. They were very welcoming, and I was able to learn about seated meditation and walking meditation. The temple was a converted old church building, which in Utah is often minimally decorated, but inside the Tibetan Buddhist Temple was beautiful and ornate. From an article in the Salt Lake Tribune newspaper, Salt Lake Buddhist temples, one has Protestant look, one has Mormon roots, by Peggy Fletcher Stack, the Salt Lake Tribune on April 30th, 2013 at 4:51 p.m. Quote, across town on 300 West and 700 South, the Urgyen Samten Ling Gompa is in a century-old Mormon meeting house, which has been remade into a traditional Tibetan Buddhist place of worship. The red, green, white, orange, and blue prayer flags and wall hangings, along with the giant wooden shrine bedecked with rows of golden-cased Buddha statues and ablaze with candles, make it tough to imagine the space began as anything but a Buddhist temple. Then there are the yellow walls. You can't believe how many versions of mustard yellow there are, quips Jean Lassar Gardner, a co-founder of the Sangha, or congregation, unquote. I think I can believe it. This is where the Yellow Hues post came from on Instagram. I went to the Pantone site, and there are, of course, a ton of hues related to yellow. So rather than just citing Pantone and sharing from their library, I decided to spend the afternoon finding and curating my own yellow reference from the garden. And surprisingly, or maybe not, springtime in the Rockies delivered. Another note about color, you have probably seen the red or yellow and orange robes worn by Buddhist monks. The monks' yellow robes were originally dyed with saffron. In Color Symbolism in Buddhist Art from Western Oregon University reads, quote, yellow is the color closest to daylight. It has the highest symbolic value in Buddhism through its link with the saffron robes of monks. This color, previously worn by criminals, was chosen by Gautama Buddha as a symbol of his humility and separation from materialist society, unquote. wou.edu. Speaking of daylight, what holds the sun up in the sky? Sunbeams! And since we like art, and some of us listening may be artists, here's a small bit about mixing color with yellow. Quote, despite the appearance of being very brash, yellow is really a very sensitive color. It is easy to sully yellow because small amounts of other colors will alter its character dramatically. Green or red, for instance, will retain their greenness and redness much more. A trace of blue will turn a yellow into green, and similarly, a hint of red will turn it into orange. Consequently, it is very important that when mixing with yellow, you add other colors to it and not the other way around. Unquote. From the book of Color Mixing for Artists by Lidzi Mirza Harrison Galton, and it was on page 32 from Mixing Yellow. We'll rein things in here and head back to the mystical sand painting. So a little more on the mandala, please, right? The sacred Kalachakra mandala, the Wheel of Time or Unstoppable Passage of Time, is a sand painting that is created as part of the Kalachakra festival and is one of the highest yoga tantras, the highest initiation for peace in the world. As part of Tibetan Buddhism, the mandala was secret, but it has been filmed in a documentary called The Enlightenment. The festival provides the Dalai Lama with a venue to reinforce certain Buddhist concepts 3 to 4 days before the Kalachakra mandala portion of the festival, which it sounds like is what the crowds are coming for. The sand painting, rendered as though you are looking down at a 5-story mansion in which the god Kalachakra manifests the state of enlightenment. There are 5 floors shown in the mandala, represent enlightened body, speech, mind, wisdom, and great bliss. There are rings representing earth, water, fire, wind, space, and wisdom. Taken together, all of these elements compose a microcosm of the universe ruled by time personified, as per mandalasforthesoul.com. Speaking of time, in 1905, Albert Einstein published a theory about space, and it was about time. Tibet is an autonomous region in China, north of the Himalayan mountains on the Tibetan plateau, which on average is at an elevation of 14,750 feet, with Everest topping out at 29,032 feet. Surrounded by mountains, Tibet shares Mount Everest with Nepal, and they also share the stories of the Yeti or Abominable Snowman. 3 big rivers get their start in Tibet, and there are lakes, but they only get about 18 inches of rain every year. Just as a quick contrast of areas around the world, Tibet is at 14,750. New Delhi, India is at 709 feet. Toronto, Canada, 251 feet. Paris, France, 115 feet. And where I am, 4,226 feet above sea level. And that's Salt Lake. Oh, and one last one, Disneyland is at 138 feet. That's in Orange County, California, near the ocean. The Kalachakra Mandala is created in Tibet at the Namgyal Monastery, founded in the 16th century, and located right next door to the home of the Dalai Lama, Potala Palace. We want to eliminate suffering due to problems in the world. The Dalai Lama offers the initiation to large gatherings to help them attain happiness. Kalachakra leads to serenity and enlightenment. The prayer wheels at the Namgyal Monastery are turned to cultivate compassion and share both energy and prayers with everyone. The people turning the prayer wheels or columns as they pass turn them clockwise and recite the mantra of compassion, Om Mani Padme Hum. Our sorrows and wounds are healed only when we touch them with compassion. This was an anonymous quote from the Dhammapada. According to His Holiness, the Kalachakra teachings can help promote world peace. Again, that one was from mandalasforthesoul.com. They continue, in an essay on his website, His Holiness writes, the Kalachakra initiations empower the disciple to practice the yoga of the Kalachakra Tantra and ultimately to achieve the state of Sri Kalachakra. As with other mandala practices, the goal here is for the initiate to enter into the mandala and identify with the deity represented therein. In the room where the Kalachakra is created, a cloth is removed from the table it has been covering, leaving a red-surfaced table. Furbas, daggers with angry heads, are used to scare off bad spirits and to protect the mandala. String covered in what might be white paint is laid out across the table, dipped again and placed the other direction, and again to divide up the table with straight lines of the string. Then the rulers and the white pens came out. They draw out the mandala on the red surface in white pen. It is created by a group of monks who have completed the memorization of the complex mandala. One monk said, if you had memorized scripture, you had all you needed to have the mandala memorized. They draw names to see who gets to work on the mandala. Namgyal Monastery is devoted to the practice of both sutras, verses, and mantras, prayers. Every year in the third month of the Tibetan calendar, they carry out the Kalachakra ritual. They work from the center out using long thin cones, copper funnels, tubes, along with scrapers called chakpur. The sand is loaded into tubes that have a very small hole at the bottom of the cone, and this is how they direct where the sand goes. They use the scrapers, running them up and down over the ridges to keep the sand flowing out, following the pattern drawn on the table. The sand is made by the monks from soft rocks that they crush with harder rocks and wash. After washing it, it is mixed with the color. There are wooden tools with sharp edges that help them create the sharp lines, and they wear surgical masks as they work and are either up on the table kneeling over their work or bent over it. When the mandala ceremony is over, the sacred sand is gathered into an urn that is carried down a stony trail to a stream and offered to the Nagas as a blessing. Harmony of water in the world. The sand is poured from the urn into the water. Four Sanskrit syllables of Kalachakra match the chakra of the forehead, throat, heart, and navel. They shelter karma and treat emotional conflicts. Ka is for Karana Chanti, La is for Leowara, Cha is for Chalasita, Kra is for Kramana Bond. Kalachakra mantra is Om Ah Hong Ho Han Sha. It's K-S-H-Y-A. Why do they destroy it? Some say impermanence, but the BBC writes, the colored sand is swept up into an urn and dispersed into flowing water, a way of extending the healing powers to the whole world. It is seen as a gift to the Mother Earth to re-energize the environment and universe. In the conversation about sand and dust, Beijing is northeast of Tibet, closer to Mongolia, An article in the New York Times called The Worst Dust Storm in a Decade Shrouds Beijing and Northern China on March 15th by Stephen Lee Myers reads, "We must adhere to the concept that clear waters and green mountains are as good as mountains of gold and silver," he said. On Monday, large parts of China experienced just how bad the environment can still be. The largest and strongest dust storm in a decade swept across northern China, grounding hundreds of flights, closing schools in some cities, and casting a ghastly shroud over tens of millions of people, from Xinjiang to the far west across the Bohai Sea. According to China's meteorological service, the article continues, the dust was churned up by a snowy squall that moved through Mongolia over the weekend. The storm there toppled electrical towers, knocking out power in several regions, and killed at least 9 people. Now that the sand-bejeweled cobwebs of obscurity have been removed, I'm not feeling this was a particularly spooky story. There was strangeness and supernatural elements, like a 2D rendering that is inhabited by hundreds of deities. The talk of ending suffering, compassion, it really diffuses the spooky element and makes it easier to understand the sacred and important focus. The story of healing sand paintings created by Navajo medicine men and women in Episode 1, and the Kalachakra mandala created by the Namgyal monks to attain happiness, blasts sunlight and understanding into shadows and ignorance. Both sand painting styles are carefully constructed art, both with a purpose to receive help from beyond, and both are destroyed after being completed. And I'd like to apologize for any mispronunciations I made during this episode. If you enjoyed this episode, I hope you'll subscribe to the podcast. And please consider rating and reviewing the podcast, The Whispering Gallery. This will help other people like you find us. Please share your favorite episodes with a friend, too. The last month flew by for me. How about you? In the last episode, I mentioned we were fostering 2 dachshunds, a mother and daughter, and they were what they call a bonded pair. They have to be adopted together. So Cookie arrived at the dachshund rescue with a large tumor, which needed immediate attention. Both Cookie and Twinkie had tumors removed when they were spayed. Things got rough for poor Cookie. They lost Cookie on the operating table, but got her back, then a rough few days at the pet emergency. The girls came back cancer-free, though. Last weekend, we met their new mom in Idaho, and the 2 girls moved to Montana. While there's a Cookie and Twinkie-sized hole at our home, we're excited that they will have squirrels and birds to watch and a truly doting new mom who worked doing vet tech duties in her husband's veterinary office before retiring. Just a great happily ever after. We still have Boomer and Shotzi. And that was Shotzi just there. So another thing, big for me anyway, is that my contract with Warner Brother Games at Avalanche Studio ended at the end of April. I was really lucky and excited to be able to assist as a production coordinator on the upcoming Hogwarts Legacy video game. If you're a fan of the magical world, watch for the game. The teams are pulling together something really special. In other news related to the last 2 episodes, Window Rock, Arizona AP. The Navajo Nation on Tuesday reported no new confirmed COVID-19 cases and no additional deaths. That was from the Associated Press, Wednesday, April 28th, 2021, as posted by KUTV.com. The Dalai Lama received his COVID vaccination early in March 2021, and he is encouraging others to be vaccinated too. Do you have any stories from the art studio, the museum, or about art that falls into the realm of spooky stories or art hauntings? Or you've heard our podcast now, something that fits the stories we like to tell? Send your suggestion, story, or please say hello at whisperingcontact@gmail.com. Or please comment or say hello on Instagram. It's always great to hear from you. If you'd like to purchase a Whispering Gallery skull pin, visit our Etsy store at etsy.com/shop/Suzanne, that's S-U-Z-A-N-N-E-N-I-K-O-L-A-I-S-E-N ART. The writing and production of the Whispering Gallery podcast and copyright are held Suzanne Nicolaiasen. If you would like to support the podcast, please visit buymeacoffee.com/suznicart. That's SUZNIKART. To help cover the cost of books and our podcast host. Look for us on Instagram at Whispering Gallery Podcast, and I have a quote from the Lost Horizon movie from 1937. Lord Gainsford said, "Gentlemen, I give you a toast. Here's my hope that Robert Conway will find his Shangri-La. Here's my hope that we will all find our Shangri-La." And that was shared by the Internet Movie Database. And thank you again for listening. Keep your flashlight close and your spooky art stories closer while visiting the Whispering Gallery.